Then I would build my city around the well so that I could keep an eye on it. She turned, looking at him. It's here. The power waits. Sazed opened his mouth to object, but could find nothing. He had no faith. Who was he to argue with such things? As he paused, he heard voices below from outside. Voices? He thought. At night? In the mists? Curious, he strained to hear what was being said, but they were too far away. He reached into the bag beside his table. Most of his metal mines were empty. He wore only his copper mines, with their stores of ancient knowledge. Inside the sack he found a small pouch. It contained the 10 rings he had prepared for the siege, but had never used. He pulled it open, took out one of the 10, then tucked the bag into his sash. With this ring, a tin mind, he could tap hearing. The words below became distinct to him. The king! The king has returned! Vin leaped out the window.
I don't fully understand how she does it either, El, Ham said, walking with his arm in a sling.
Elland walked through the city streets, people trailing behind him, speaking in excited tones. The crowd was growing larger and larger as people heard that Elland had returned. Spook eyed them uncertainly, but seemed to be enjoying the attention.
I was out cold for the last part of the battle, Ham was saying. Only Pewter kept me alive. Kolos slaughtered my team, breached the walls of the keep I was defending. I got out and found Sazed, but my mind was growing muddled by then. I remember falling unconscious outside Keep Hasting. When I woke up, Vin had already taken the city back.
They paused. Vin stood in front of them in the city street. Quiet. Dark. In the mists, she almost looked like the spirit Elland had seen earlier.
Vin? He asked in the eerie air.
Elland, she said, rushing forward into his arms, and the air of mystery was gone. She shivered as she held him. I'm sorry. I think I did something bad.
Oh, he asked. What is that?
I made you emperor.
Elland smiled. I noticed, and I accept.
After all you did to make certain the people had a choice? Elland shook his head.
I'm beginning to think my opinions were simplistic. Honorable, but incomplete. We'll deal with this. I'm just glad to find that my city is still standing.
Vin smiled. She looked tired.
Vin, he asked, are you still pewter dragging?
No, she said. This is something else. She glanced to the side, face thoughtful as if deciding something. Come, she said.
Sazed watched out the window, a second tin mine enhancing his sight. It was indeed Elland below. Sazed smiled, one of the weights on his soul removed. He turned, intending to go and meet the king. And then he saw something blowing on the floor in front of him, a scrap of paper. He knelt down, picking it up, noticing his own handwriting on it. Its edges were jagged from having been ripped. He frowned, walking over to his table, opening the book to the page with Quan's narrative. A piece was missing. The same piece as before. The one that had been ripped free that time with Tyndall. He'd almost forgotten the strange occurrence with the pages all missing the same sentence. He'd rewritten this page from his metal mind after they'd found the torn sheets. Now the same bit had been torn free. The last sentence. Just to make certain, he put it up next to his book. It fit perfectly. Alendi must not reach the Well of Ascension, it read, for he must not be allowed to take the power for himself. It was the exact wording Sazed had in his memory, the exact wording of the rubbing.
Why would Quan have worried about this, he thought, sitting down. He says he knew Alendi better than anyone else. In fact, he called Alendi an honorable man on several occasions.
Why would Quan be so worried about Alendi taking the power for himself?
Vin walked through the mists.
Ellen, Ham, and Spook trailed behind her, the crowd dispersed by Ellen's order, though some soldiers did stay close to protect Ellen. Vin continued on, feeling the pulsings, the thumpings, the power that shook her very soul. Why couldn't the others feel it? "Vin," Ellen asked, "where are we going?"
"Creedic Shaw," she said softly.
"But why?" She just shook her head. She knew the truth now. The well was in the city. With how strong the pulsings were growing, she might have assumed that their direction would be harder to discern. But that wasn't the way it was at all. Now that they were loud and full, she found it easier. Ellen glanced back at the others, and she could sense his concern. Up ahead, Creedic Shaw loomed in the night. Spires, like massive spikes, jutted from the ground in an off-balance pattern, reaching accusingly toward the stars above. "Vin," Ellen said, "the mists are acting strangely."
"I know," she said. "They're guiding me."
"No, actually," Ellen said. "They kind of look like they're pulling away from you." Vin shook her head.
This felt right. How could she explain?
Together they entered the remnants of the Lord Ruler's palace.
The well was here all along, Vin thought, amused.
She could feel the pulses vibrating through the building. Why hadn't she noticed it before?
The pulses were still too weak then, she realized. The well wasn't full yet. Now it is.
And it called to her. She followed the same path as before. The path she'd followed with Kelsier, breaking into Creedic Shaw on a doomful night when she had nearly died. The path she'd followed on her own the night she had come to kill the Lord Ruler. The tight stone corridors opened into the room shaped like an upside-down bowl. Ellen's lantern glistened against the fine stonework and murals, mostly in black and gray. The stone shack stood in the center of the room, abandoned, enclosed.
"I think we're finally going to find your atium, Ellen," Vin said, smiling.
"What?" Ellen said, his voice echoing in the chamber. "Vin, we searched here. We tried everything."
"Not enough, apparently," Vin said, eyeing the small building within a building, but not moving toward it. "This is where I'd put it," she thought. "It makes sense. The Lord Ruler would have wanted to keep the well close, so that when the power returned, he'd be able to take it. But I killed him before that could happen."
The booming came from below. They'd torn up sections of the floor, but it stopped when they'd hit solid rock. There had to be a way down. She walked over, searching through the building within a building, but found nothing. She left, passing her confused friends, frustrated. Then she tried burning her metals. As always, blue lines shot up around her, pointing to sources of metal. Ellen was wearing several, as was Spook, though Ham was clean. Some of the stonework bore metal inlays, and lines pointed to those. Everything was as expected. There was nothing... Vin frowned, stepping to the side. One of the inlays bore a particularly thick line. Too thick, in fact. She frowned, inspecting the line as it, like the others, pointed from her chest directly at the stone wall. This one seemed to be pointing beyond the wall.
What?
She pulled on it. Nothing happened. So she pulled harder, grunting as she was yanked toward the wall. She released the line, glancing about. There were inlays on the floor, deep ones. Curious, she anchored herself by pulling on these, then pulled on the wall again. She thought she felt something budge. She burned her alamin and pulled as hard as she could. The explosion of power nearly ripped her apart, but her anchor held, and her alamin-fueled pewter kept her alive. And a section of the wall slid open, stone grinding against stone in the quiet room. Vin gasped, letting go as her metals ran out.
"Lord Ruler," Spook said.
Ham was quicker, however, moving with the speed of pewter and peeking into the opening. Ellen stayed at her side, grabbing her arm as she nearly fell.
"I'm fine," Vin said, downing a vial and restoring her metals.
The power of the well thumped around her. It almost seemed to shake the room.
"There are stairs in here," Ham said, poking his head back out.
Vin steadied herself and nodded to Elland, and the two of them followed Ham and Spook through the false section of the wall.
"But I must continue with the sparest of detail," Quan's account read. "Space is limited. The other Worldbringers must have thought themselves humble when they came to me, admitting that they had been wrong about Elendi. Even then I was beginning to doubt my original declaration. But I was prideful. In the end, my pride may have doomed us all. I had never received much attention from my brethren. They thought that my work and my interests were unsuitable to a Worldbringer. They couldn't see how my studies, which focused on nature instead of religion, benefited the people of the 14 lands. As the one who found Elendi, however, I became someone important, foremost among the Worldbringers. There was a place for me in the lore of the Anticipation. I thought myself the holy first witness, the prophet foretold to discover the Hero of Ages. Renouncing Elendi, then, would have been to renounce my new position, my acceptance, by the others. And so I did not. But I do so now. Let it be known that I, Quan, Worldbringer of Terrace, am a fraud. Elendi was never the Hero of Ages. At best, I have amplified his virtues, creating a hero where there was none. At worst, I fear that I have corrupted all we believe." Sazed sat at his table reading from his book. "Something is not right here," he thought. He traced back a few lines, looking at the words "Holy First Witness" again. Why did that line keep bothering him? He sat back, sighing. Even if the prophecies did speak about the future, they wouldn't be things to follow or use as guideposts. Tyndall was right on that count. His own study had proven them to be unreliable and shadowed. So what was the problem?
"It just doesn't make sense."
But then again, sometimes religion didn't make literal sense. Was that the reason? Or was that his own bias? His growing frustration with the teachings he had memorized and taught, the witch had betrayed him in the end. It came down to the scrap of paper on his desk, the torn one. Elendi must not be allowed to reach the Well of Ascension. Someone was standing next to his desk. Sazed gasped, stumbling back, nearly tripping over his chair. It wasn't actually a person. It was a shadow, formed, it seemed, from streams of mist. They were very faint, still trailing through the window that Vin had opened, but they made a person. Its head seemed turned toward the table, toward the book. Or perhaps the scrap of paper. Sazed felt like running, like scrambling away in fear, but his scholar's mind dredged something up to fight his terror. "Elendi," he thought. "The one everyone thought was the Hero of Ages. He said he saw a thing made of mist following him. Vin claimed to have seen it as well."
"What do you want?"
he asked, trying to remain calm. The spirit didn't move.
"Could it be her?"
he wondered with shock. Many religions claimed that the dead continued to walk the world just beyond the view of mortals. But this thing was too short to be Tyndall. Sazed was sure that he would have recognized her, even in such an amorphous form. Sazed tried to gauge where it was looking. He reached out a hesitant hand, picking up the scrap of paper. The spirit raised an arm, pointing toward the center of the city. Sazed frowned.
"I don't understand," he said.
The spirit pointed more insistently.
"Write down for me what you want me to do."
It just pointed. Sazed stood for a long moment in the room with only one candle, then glanced at the open book. The wind flapped its pages, showing his handwriting, then Tyndall's, then his again.
"Elendi must not be allowed to reach the Well of Ascension. He must not be allowed to take the power for himself."
Perhaps Quan knew something that nobody else had. Could the power corrupt even the best people? Could that be why he turned against Elendi, trying to stop him?
The mist spirit pointed again.
If the spirit tore free that sentence, perhaps it was willing to tell me something. But Vin wouldn't take the power for herself. She wouldn't destroy, as the Lord Ruler did, would she?
And if she didn't have a choice? Outside, someone screamed. The yell was of pure terror, and it was soon joined by others. A horrible, echoing set of sounds in a dark night. There wasn't time to think. Sazed grabbed the candle, spilling wax on the table in his haste, and left the room. The winding set of stone stairs led downward for quite some time. Vin walked down them, Ellen at her side, the thumping sounding loudly in her ears. At the bottom, the stairwell opened into a vast chamber. Ellen held his lantern high, looking down into a huge stone cavern. Spook was already halfway down the stone steps leading to the floor. Ham was following.
Lord Ruler, Ellen whispered, standing at Vin's side. We'd have never found this without tearing down the entire building.
That was probably the idea, Vin said. Creedic Shaw isn't simply a palace, but a capstone, built to hide something. This.
Above, those inlays on the walls hid the cracks of the doorway, and the metal in them obscured the opening mechanism from allomantic eyes. If I hadn't had a hint...
Hint? Ellen asked, turning to her.
Vin shook her head, nodding to the steps. The two began down them. Below, she heard Spook's voice ring.
There's food down here, he yelled. Cans and cans of it.
Indeed, they found rank upon rank of shelves sitting on the cavern floor, meticulously packed as if set aside in preparation for something important. Vin and Ellen reached the cavern floor as Ham chased after Spook, calling for him to slow down. Ellen made as if to follow, but Vin grabbed his arm. She was burning iron.
Strong source of metal that way, she said, growing eager.
Ellen nodded, and they rushed through the cavern, passing shelf after shelf.
The Lord Ruler must have prepared these, she thought. But for what purpose?
She didn't care at the moment. She didn't really care about the Atium either. But Ellen's eagerness to find it was too much to ignore. They rushed up to the end of the cavern, where they found the source of the metal line. A large metal plaque hung on the wall, like the one Sazed had described finding in the conventicle of Saren. Ellen was clearly disappointed when they saw it. Vin, however, stepped forward, looking through tin-enhanced eyes to see what it contained.
A map? Ellen asked. That's the Final Empire.
Indeed, a map of the Empire was carved into the metal. Luthadel was marked at the center. A small circle marked another city nearby.
Why is Statland City circled? Ellen asked, frowning.
Vin shook her head.
This isn't what we came for, she said.
There!
A tunnel split off from the main cavern.
Come on!
Sazed ran through the streets, not even certain what he was doing. He followed the mist spirit, which was difficult to trace in the night, as his candle had long since puffed out. People screamed. Their panicked sounds gave him chills, and he itched to go and see what the problem was. Yet the mist spirit was demanding. It paused to catch his attention if it lost him. It could simply be leading him to his death. And yet, he felt a trust for it that he could not explain.
Allomancy, he thought. Pulling on my emotions?
Before he could consider that further, he stumbled across the first body. It was a ska man in simple clothing, skin stained with ash. His face was twisted in a grimace of pain, and the ash on the ground was smeared from his threshings. Sazed gasped as he pulled to a halt. He knelt, studying the body by the dim light of an open window nearby. This man had not died easily.
It's like the killings I was studying, he thought. Months ago, in the village to the south. The man there said that the mists had killed his friend, caused him to fall to the ground and thrash about.
The spirit appeared in front of Sazed, its posture insistent. Sazed looked up, frowning.
You did this? He whispered.
The thing shook its head violently, pointing. Creedic Shaw was just ahead. It was the direction Vin and Elend had gone earlier. Sazed stood.
Vin said she thought the well was still in the city, he thought. The deepness has come upon us, as its tendrils have been doing in the far reaches of the Empire for some time. Killing. Something greater than we comprehend is going on.
He still couldn't believe that Vin going to the well would be dangerous. She had read, she knew Rashik's story. She wouldn't take the power for herself. He was confident, but not completely certain. In fact, he was no longer certain what they should do with the well.
I have to get to her. Stop her, talk to her, prepare her. We can't rush into something like this.
If indeed they were going to take the power at the well, they needed to think about it first and decide what the best course was. The mist spirit continued to point. Sazed stood and ran forward, ignoring the horror of the screams in the night. He approached the doors of the massive palace structure with its spires and spikes, then dashed inside. The mist spirit remained behind, in the mists that had birthed it. Sazed lit his candle again with a flint and waited. The mist spirit did not move forward. Still feeling an urgency, Sazed left it behind, continuing into the depths of the Lord Ruler's former home. The stone walls were cold and dark, his candle a wan light.
The well couldn't be here, he thought. It's supposed to be in the mountains.
Yet so much about that time was vague. He was beginning to doubt that he'd even understood the things he'd studied. He quickened his step, shading his candle with his hand, knowing where he needed to go. He'd visited the building within a building, the place where the Lord Ruler had once spent his time. Sazed had studied the place after the Empire's fall, chronicling and cataloging. He stepped into the outer room, and was halfway across it before he noticed the unfamiliar opening in the wall. A figure stood in the doorway, head bowed. Sazed's candlelight reflected the polished marble walls, the silvery inlaid murals, and the spikes in the man's eyes.
Marsh? Sazed asked, shocked. Where have you been?
What are you doing, Sazed?
Marsh whispered.
I'm going to Vin, he said, confused. She has found the well, Marsh. We have to get to her. Stop her from doing anything with it until we're sure what it does.
Marsh remained silent for a moment.
You should not have come here, Terrasman, he finally said, head still bowed.
Marsh, what is going on?
Sazed took a step forward, feeling urgent.
I wish I knew. I wish I understood.
Understood what?
Sazed asked, voice echoing in the domed room. Marsh stood silently for a moment. Then he looked up, focusing his sightless spike heads on Sazed.
I wish I understood why I have to kill you, he said, then lifted a hand.
An allomantic push slammed into the metal bracers on Sazed's arms, throwing him backward, crashing him into the hard stone wall.
I'm sorry, Marsh whispered. Alendi must not reach the Well of Ascension.
58.
Lord Ruler,
Elend whispered, pausing at the edge of the second cavern. Vin joined him. They had walked in the passage for some time, leaving the storage cavern far behind, walking through a natural stone tunnel. It had ended here, at a second, slightly smaller cavern that was clogged with a thick, dark smoke. It didn't seep out of the cavern as it should have, but billowed and churned upon itself. Vin stepped forward. The smoke didn't choke her as she expected. There was something oddly welcoming about it.
Come on, she said, walking through it across the cavern floor. I see light up ahead.
Elend joined her nervously.
Thump, thump, thump.
Sazed slammed into the wall. He was no allomancer. He had no pewter to strengthen his body. As he collapsed to the ground, he felt a sharp pain in his side and knew he had cracked a rib, or worse. Marsh strode forward, faintly illuminated by Sazed's candle, which burned fitfully where Sazed had dropped it.
Why did you come?
Marsh whispered as Sazed struggled to his knees.
Everything was going so well.
He watched with iron eyes as Sazed slowly crawled away. Then Marsh pushed again, throwing Sazed to the side. Sazed skidded across the beautiful white floor, crashing into another wall. His arm snapped, cracking, and his vision shuddered. Through his pain, he saw Marsh stoop down and pick something up. A small pouch. It had fallen from Sazed's sash. It was filled with bits of metal. Marsh obviously thought it was a coin pouch.
"I'm sorry,"
Marsh said again, then raised a hand and pushed the bag at Sazed. The pouch shot across the room and hit Sazed, ripping, the bits of metal inside tearing into Sazed's flesh. He didn't have to look down to know how badly he was injured. Oddly, he could no longer feel his pain, but he could feel the blood warm on his stomach and legs.
"I'm sorry, too," Sazed thought as the room grew dark and he fell to his knees. "I failed, though I know not at what. I can't even answer Marsh's question. I don't know why I came here."
He felt himself dying. It was an odd experience. His mind was resigned, yet confused, yet frustrated, yet slowly having trouble.
"Those weren't coins,"
a voice seemed to whisper. The thought rattled in his dying mind.
"The bag Marsh shot at you. Those weren't coins. They were rings, Sazed. 8 of them. You took out 2, eyesight and hearing. You left the other ones where they were. In the pouch, tucked into your sash."
Sazed collapsed, death coming upon him like a cold shadow. And yet the thought rang true. 10 rings embedded into his flesh, touching him. Weight, speed of body, sight, hearing, touch, scent, strength, speed of mind, wakefulness, and health. He tapped gold. He didn't have to be wearing the metal mind to use it. He only had to be touching it. His chest stopped burning and his vision snapped back into focus. His arm straightened, the bones re-knitting as he drew upon several days' worth of health in a brief flash of power. He gasped, his mind recovering from its near death, but the gold mind restored a crisp clarity to his thoughts. The flesh healed around the metal. Sazed stood, pulling the empty bag from where it stuck from his skin, leaving the rings inside of him. He dropped to the ground, the wound sealing, draining the last of the power from the gold mind. Marsh stopped at the mouth of the doorway, turning in surprise. Sazed's arm still throbbed, probably cracked, and his ribs were bruised. Such a short burst of health could only do so much. But he was alive.
"You have betrayed us, Marsh," Sazed said. "I did not realize those spikes stole a man's soul, as well as his eyes."
"You cannot fight me," Marsh replied quietly, his voice echoing in the dark room. "You are no warrior."
Sazed smiled, feeling the small metal mines within him give him power.
"Neither, I think, are you."
"I'm involved in something that is far over my head," Elend thought as they passed through the strange, smoke-filled cavern. The floor was rough and uneven, and his lantern seemed dim, as if the swirling black smoke were sucking in the light. Vin walked confidently. No, determinedly. There was a difference. Whatever was at the end of this cavern, she obviously wanted to discover it.
"And what will it be?" Elend thought. "The Well of Ascension?"
The well was a thing of mythology, something spoken of by obligators when they taught about the Lord Ruler. And yet, he had followed Vin northward, expecting to find it, hadn't he? Why be so tentative now? Perhaps because he was finally beginning to accept what was happening, and it worried him. Not because he feared for his life, but because suddenly he didn't understand the world. Armies he could understand, even if he didn't know how to defeat them. But a thing like the well?
A thing of gods? A thing beyond the logic of scholars and philosophers? That was terrifying. They finally approached the other side of the smoky cavern. Here there appeared to be a final chamber, one much smaller than the first two. As they stepped into it, Ellen noticed something immediately. This room was man-made, or at least it had the feel of something man-made. Stalactites formed pillars through the low-ceilinged room, and they were spaced far too evenly to be random. Yet at the same time they looked as if they had grown naturally and showed no signs of being worked. The air seemed warmer inside, and thankfully they passed out of the smoke as they entered. A low light came from something on the far side of the chamber, though Ellen couldn't distinguish the source. It didn't look like torchlight. It was the wrong color, and it shimmered rather than flickered. Vin wrapped an arm around him, staring toward the back of the chamber, suddenly seeming apprehensive.
"Where is that light coming from?" Ellen asked, frowning.
"A pool," Vin said quietly, her eyes far keener than his. "A glowing white pool."
Ellen frowned, but the two of them didn't move. Vin seemed hesitant.
"What?"
he asked. She pulled against him.
"That's the Well of Ascension. I can feel it inside of my head, beating."
Ellen forced a smile, feeling a surreal sense of displacement.
"That's what we came for, then."
"What if I don't know what to do?" Vin asked quietly. "What if I take the power, but I don't know how to use it? What if I become like the Lord Ruler?"
Ellen looked down at her, arms wrapped around him, and his fear lessened a bit. He loved her. The situation they faced, it couldn't easily fit into his logical world. But Vin had never really needed logic, and he didn't need it either, if he trusted her. He took her head in his hands, rotating it up to look at him.
"Your eyes are beautiful."
She frowned.
"What?"
"And," Ellen continued, "part of the beauty in them comes from your sincerity. You won't become the Lord Ruler, Vin. You'll know what to do with that power. I trust you." She smiled hesitantly, then nodded. However, she didn't move forward into the cavern. Instead, she pointed at something over Ellen's shoulder.
"What's that?"
Ellen turned, noticing a ledge in the back wall of the small room. It grew straight out of the rock just beside the doorway they had entered. Vin approached the ledge, and Ellen followed behind her, noticing the shards that lay upon it.
"It looks like broken pottery," Ellen said.
There were several patches of it, and more of it scattered on the floor beneath the ledge. Vin picked up a piece, but there didn't seem to be anything distinctive about it. She looked at Ellen, who was fishing through the pottery pieces.
"Look at this,"
he said, holding up one that hadn't been broken like the others. It was a disc-like piece of fired clay with a single bead of some metal at the center.
"Atium?"
she asked.
"It looks like the wrong color," he said, frowning.
"What is it, then?"
"Maybe we'll find the answers over there," Ellen said, turning and looking down the rows of pillars toward the light.
Vin nodded, and they walked forward. Marsh immediately tried to push Sazed away by the metal bracers on his arms. Sazed was ready, however, and he tapped his ring iron mind, drawing forth the weight he had stored within it. His body grew denser, and he felt its weight pulling him down, his fists feeling like balls of iron on the ends of lead arms. Marsh immediately lurched away, thrown violently backward by his own push. He slammed into the back wall, a cry of surprise escaping his lips. It echoed in the small domed room. Shadows danced in the room as the candle grew weaker. Sazed tapped sight, enhancing his vision and released iron as he dashed toward the addled Inquisitor. Marsh, however, recovered quickly. He reached out, pulling an unlit lamp off the wall. It zipped through the air, flying toward Marsh. Sazed tapped zinc. He felt something like a twisted hybrid of an allomancer and a ferrochemist, his sources of metal embedded within him. The gold had healed his insides, made him whole, but the rings still remained within his flesh. This was what the Lord Ruler had done,
keeping his metal mines inside of him, piercing his flesh so that they would be harder to steal. That had always seemed morbid to Sazed. Now he saw how useful it could be. His thoughts sped up, and he quickly saw the trajectory of the lamp. Marsh would be able to use it as a weapon against him, so Sazed tapped steel. Allomancy and ferrochemy had one fundamental difference. Allomancy drew its powers from the metals themselves, and so the amount of power was limited. In ferrochemy, one could compound an attribute many times, drawing out months' worth of power in a few minutes. Steel stored physical speed. Sazed zipped across the room, air rushing in his ears as he shot past the open doorway. He snatched the lamp out of the air, then tapped iron hard, increasing his weight manyfold, and tapped pewter to give himself massive strength. Marsh didn't have time to react. He was now pulling on a lamp held in Sazed's inhumanly strong, inhumanly heavy hand. Again Marsh was yanked by his own allomancy. The pull threw him across the room directly toward Sazed. Sazed turned, slamming the lamp into Marsh's face. The metal bent in his hand, and the force threw Marsh backward. The Inquisitor hit the marble wall, a spray of blood misting in the air. As Marsh slumped to the ground, Sazed could see that he'd driven one of the eye spikes back into the front of the skull, crushing the bone around the socket. Sazed returned his weight to normal, then jumped forward, raising his impromptu weapon again. Marsh, however, threw an arm up and pushed. Sazed skidded back a few feet before he was able to tap the iron mine again, increasing his weight. Marsh grunted, his push forcing him back against the wall. It also, however, kept Sazed at bay. Sazed struggled to step forward, but the pressure of Marsh's push, along with his own bulky, weighed-down body, made walking difficult. The two strained for a moment, pushing against each other in the darkening light. The room's inlays sparkled, quiet murals watching them, open doorway leading down to the well just to the side. "Why, Marsh?" Sazed whispered.
"I don't know,"
Marsh said, his voice coming out in a growl. With a flash of power, Sazed released his iron mind and instead tapped steel, increasing his speed again. He dropped the lamp, ducking to the side, moving more quickly than Marsh could track. The lamp was forced backward, but then fell to the ground as Marsh let go of his push, jumping forward, obviously trying to keep from being trapped against the wall. But Sazed was faster. He spun, raising a hand to try to pull out Marsh's linchpin spike. The one in between his shoulder blades pounded down lengthwise into the back. Pulling this one spike would kill an Inquisitor. It was the weakness the Lord Ruler had built into them. Sazed skidded around Marsh to attack from behind. The spike in Marsh's right eye protruded several inches out of the back of his skull, and it dribbled blood. Sazed's steel mind ran out. The rings had never been intended to last long, and his two extreme bursts had drained this one in seconds. He slowed with a dreadful lurch, but his arm was still raised, and he still had the strength of 10 men. He could see the bulge of the linchpin spike underneath Marsh's robe. If he could just... Marsh spun, then dexterously knocked aside Sazed's hand. He rammed an elbow into Sazed's stomach, then brought a backhand up and crashed it into his face. Sazed fell backward, and his pewter mind ran out, his strength disappearing. He hit the hard steel ground with a grunt of pain and rolled. Marsh loomed in the dark. The candle flickered.
"You were wrong, Sazed," Marsh said quietly. "Once I was not a warrior, but that has changed. You spent the last 2 years teaching, but I spent them killing. Killing so many people."
Marsh stepped forward and Sazed coughed, trying to get his bruised body to move. He worried that he'd rebroken his arm. He tapped zinc again, speeding up his thoughts, but that didn't help his body move. He could only watch, more fully aware of his predicament and unable to do a thing to stop it, as Marsh picked up the fallen lamp. The candle went out. Yet Sazed could still see Marsh's face. Blood dripped from the crushed socket, making the man's expression even harder to read. The Inquisitor seemed sorrowful as he raised the lamp in a claw-like grip, intending to smash it down into Sazed's face.
"Wait," Sazed thought. "Where is that light coming from?"
A dueling cane smashed against the back of Marsh's head, shattering and throwing up splinters. Vin and Elend walked up to the pool. Elend knelt quietly beside it, but Vin just stood, staring at the glittering waters. They were gathered in a small depression in the rock, and they looked thick, like metal. A silvery white, glowing liquid metal. The well was only a few feet across, but its power loomed in her mind. Vin was so enraptured by the beautiful pool, in fact, that she didn't notice the mist spirit until Ellen's grip tightened on her arm. She looked up, noticing the spirit standing before them. It seemed to have its head bowed, but as she turned, its shadowy form stood up straighter. She'd never seen the creature outside of the mist. It still wasn't completely whole. Mist puffed from its body, flowing downward, creating its amorphous form, a persistent pattern. Vin hissed quietly, pulling out a dagger.
"Wait,"
Ellen said, standing. She frowned, shooting him a glance.
"I don't think it's dangerous, Vin," he said, stepping away from her toward the spirit.
"Ellen, no," she said, but he gently shook her free.
"It visited me while you were gone, Vin," he explained. "It didn't hurt me. It just seemed like it wanted me to know something."
He smiled, still wearing his nondescript cloak and traveling clothing, and he walked slowly up to the mist spirit.
"What is it you want?"
The mist spirit stood immobile for a moment, then it raised its arm. Something flashed, reflecting the pool's light.
"No!"
Vin screamed, dashing forward as the spirit slashed across Ellen's gut. Ellen grunted in pain, then stumbled back.
"Ellen!"
Vin said, scrambling to Ellen's side as he slipped and fell to the ground. The spirit backed away, dripping blood from somewhere within its deceptively incorporeal form. Ellen's blood. Ellen lay shocked, eyes wide. Vin flared pewter and ripped open the front of his jacket, exposing the wound. The spirit had cut deeply into his stomach, slashing the gut open.
"No, no, no,"
Vin said, mind growing numb, Ellen's blood on her hands. The wound was very bad. Deadly. Ham dropped the broken cane, one arm still in a sling. The beefy thug looked incredibly pleased with himself as he stepped over Marsha's body and reached his good hand toward Sazed.
"Didn't expect to find you here, Saze," the thug said.
Dazed, Sazed took the hand and climbed to his feet. He stumbled over Marsha's body, somehow distractedly knowing that a simple club to the head wouldn't be enough to kill the creature. Yet Sazed was too addled to care. He picked up his candle, lit it from Ham's lantern, then made his way toward the stairs, forcing himself onward. He had to keep going. He had to get to Vin. Vin cradled Ellen in her arms, her cloak forming a hasty and dreadfully inadequate bandage around his torso.
"I love you,"
she whispered, tears warm on her cold cheeks.
"Ellen, I love you. I love you."
Love wouldn't be enough. He was trembling, eyes staring upward, barely able to focus. He gasped and blood bubbled in his spittle. She turned to the side, numbly realizing where she knelt. The pool glowed beside her, just inches from where Ellen had fallen. Some of his blood had dribbled into the pool, though it didn't mix with the liquid metal.
"I can save him," she realized. "The power of creation rests just inches from my fingers."
This was the place where Rashik had ascended to godhood, the Well of Ascension. She looked back at Ellen, at his dying eyes. He tried to focus on her, but he seemed to be having trouble controlling his muscles. It seemed like he was trying to smile. Vin rolled up her coat and put it beneath his head. Then, wearing just her trousers and shirt, she walked up to the pool. She could hear it thumping, as if calling to her, calling for her to join with it. She stepped onto the pool. It resisted her touch, but her foot began to sink slowly. She stepped forward, moving into the center of the pool, waiting as she sank. Within seconds, the pool was up to her chest, the glowing liquid all around her. She took a breath, then leaned her head back, looking up as the pool absorbed her, covering her face. Sazed stumbled down the stairs, candle held in quivering fingers. Ham was calling after him. He passed a confused spook on the landing below and ignored the boy's questions. However, as he began to make his way down to the cavern floor, he slowed. A small tremor ran through the rock. Somehow, he knew that he was too late. The power came upon her suddenly. She felt the liquid pressing against her, creeping into her body, crawling, forcing its way through the pores and openings in her skin. She opened her mouth to scream, and it rushed in that way too, choking her, gagging her. With a sudden flare, her earlobe began to hurt. She cried out, pulling her earring free, dropping it into the depths. She pulled off her sash, letting it and her allomantic vials go as well, removing the only metals on her person. Then she started to burn. She recognized the sensation. It was exactly like the feeling of burning metals in her stomach, except it came from her entire body. Her skin flared, her muscles flamed, and her very bones seemed on fire. She gasped and realized the metal was gone from her throat. She was glowing. She felt the power within, as if it were trying to burst back out. It was like the strength she gained by burning pewter, but amazingly more potent. It was a force of incredible capacity. It would have been beyond her ability to understand, but it expanded her mind, forcing her to grow and comprehend what she now possessed. She could remake the world. She could push back the mists. She could feed millions with the wave of her hand, punish the evil, protect the weak. She was in awe of herself. The cavern was as if translucent around her, and she saw the entire world spreading, a magnificent sphere upon which life could exist only in a small little area at the poles. She could fix that. She could make things better. She could save Elend. She glanced down and saw him dying. She immediately understood what was wrong with him. She could fix his damaged skin and sliced organs.
"You mustn't do it, child." Vin looked up with shock. "You know what you must do," the voice said, whispering to her. It sounded aged, kindly.
"I have to save him," she cried.
"You know what you must do."
And she did know. She saw it happen. She saw, as if in a vision, Rashik when he'd taken the power for himself. She saw the disasters he created. It was all or nothing, like allomancy in a way. If she took the power, she would have to burn it away in a few moments, remaking things as she pleased, but only for a brief time. Or she could give it up.
"I must defeat the deepness," the voice said.
She saw that too. Outside the palace, in the city, across the land. People in the mists, shaking, falling. Many stayed indoors, thankfully. The traditions of the Ska were still strong within them. Some were out, however. Those who trusted in Kelsier's words that the mists could not hurt them. But now the mists could. They had changed, bringing death. This was the deepness. Mists that killed. Mists that were slowly covering the entire land. The deaths were sporadic. Vin saw many falling dead, but saw others simply falling sick, and still others going about in the mists as if nothing were wrong.
"It will get worse," the voice said quietly. "It will kill and destroy. And if you try to stop it yourself, you will ruin the world as Rashik did before you."
"Elend," she whispered.
She turned toward him, bleeding on the floor. At that moment she remembered something. Something Sazed had said.
"You must love him enough to trust his wishes," he had told her. "It isn't love unless you learn to respect him. Not what you assume is best, but what he actually wants."
She saw Elend weeping. She saw him focusing on her, and she knew what he wanted. He wanted his people to live. He wanted the world to know peace, and the Ska to be free.
He wanted the deepness to be defeated. The safety of his people meant more to him than his own life. Far more. "You'll know what to do," he'd told her just moments before. "I trust you." Vin closed her eyes, and tears rolled down her cheeks. Apparently, gods could cry.
"I love you," she whispered.
She let the power go. She held the capacity to become a deity in her hands, and she gave it away, releasing it to the waiting void. She gave up Elend, because she knew that was what he wanted. The cavern immediately began to shake. Vin cried out as the flaring power within her was ripped away, soaked up greedily by the void. She screamed, her glow fading, then fell into the now empty pool, head knocking against the rocks. The cavern continued to shake, dust and chips falling from the ceiling. And then, in a moment of surreal clarity, Vin heard a single, distinct sentence ringing in her mind.
"I am free."
For he must not be allowed to release the thing that is imprisoned there. 59. Vin lay quietly weeping. The cavern was still, the tempest over. The thing was gone, and the thumping in her mind was finally quiet. She sniffled, arms around Elend, holding him as he gasped his final few breaths. She'd screamed for help, calling for Ham and Spook, but had gotten no response. They were too far away. She felt cold, empty. After holding that much power, then having it ripped from her, she felt like she was nothing. And once Elend died, she would be. "What would be the point?" she thought. "Life doesn't mean anything. I've betrayed Elend. I've betrayed the world." She wasn't certain what had happened, but somehow she'd made a horrible, horrible mistake. The worst part was, she had tried so hard to do what was right, even if it hurt. Something loomed above her. She looked up at the mist spirit, but couldn't even really feel rage. She was having trouble feeling anything at the moment. The spirit raised an arm, pointing. "It's over," she whispered. It pointed more demandingly.
"I won't get to them in time," she said. "Besides, I saw how bad the cut was. Saw it with the power. There's nothing any of them could do, not even Sazed it. So you should be pleased. You got what you wanted."
She trailed off. Why had the spirit stabbed Elend?
"To make me heal him," she thought. "To keep me from releasing the power."
She blinked her eyes. The spirit waved its arm. Slowly, numbly, she got to her feet. She watched the spirit in a trance as it floated a few steps over and pointed at something on the ground. The room was dark now that the pool was empty, and was illuminated only by Ellen's lantern. She had to flare tin to see what the spirit was pointing at. A piece of pottery. The disc Elend had taken from the shelf in the back of the room and had been holding in his hand. It had broken when he'd collapsed. The mist spirit pointed urgently, then approached and bent over, fingers finding the small nugget of metal that had been at the disc's center.
"What is it?" she whispered.
The mist spirit turned and drifted back to Elend. Vin walked up quietly. He was still alive. He seemed to be getting weaker, and was trembling less. Eerily, as he grew closer to death, he actually seemed a bit more in control. He looked at her as she knelt, and she could see his lips moving.
"Vin,"
he whispered. She knelt beside him, looked at the bead of metal, then looked up at the spirit. It stood motionless. She rolled the bead between her fingers, then moved to eat it. The spirit moved urgently, shaking its hands. Vin paused, and the spirit pointed at Elend.
"What?"
she thought. However, she wasn't really in a state to think. She held the nugget up to Elend.
"Elend,"
she whispered, leaning close.
You must swallow this.
She wasn't certain if he understood her or not, though he did appear to nod. She placed the bit of metal in his mouth. His lips moved, but he started to choke.
I have to get him something to wash it down, she thought.
The only thing she had was one of her metal vials. She reached into the empty well, retrieving her earring and her sash. She pulled free a vial, then poured the liquid into his mouth. Elend continued to cough weakly, but the liquid did its work well, washing down the bead of metal. Vin knelt, feeling so powerless, a depressing contrast to how she had been just moments before. Elend closed his eyes. Then, oddly, the color seemed to return to his cheeks. Vin knelt, confused, watching him. The look on his face, the way he lay, the color of his skin. She burned bronze and, with shock, felt pulses coming from Elend. He was burning pewter. Epilogue. 2 weeks later, a solitary figure arrived at the conventicle of Saren. Sazed had left Luthadel quietly, troubled by his thoughts and by the loss of Tyndall. He'd left a note. He couldn't stay in Luthadel, not at the moment. The mists still killed. They struck random people who went out at night with no discernible pattern. Many of the people did not die, but only became sick. Others, the mists murdered. Sazed didn't know what to make of the deaths. He wasn't even certain if he cared. Vin spoke of something terrible she had released at the Well of Ascension. She had expected Sazed to want to study and record her experience. Instead, he had left. He made his way through the solemn, steel-plated rooms. He half expected to be confronted by one Inquisitor or another. Perhaps Marsh would try to kill him again. By the time he and Ham had returned from the storage cavern beneath Luthadel, Marsh had vanished again. His work had apparently been done. He'd stalled Sazed long enough to keep him from stopping Vin. Sazed made his way down the steps, through the torture chamber, and finally into the small rock room he'd visited on his first trip to the conventicle, so many weeks before. He dropped his pack to the ground, working it open with tired fingers, then looked up at the large steel plate. Quan's final words stared back at him. Sazed knelt, pulling a carefully tied portfolio from his back. He undid the string, and then removed his original rubbing, made in this very room months before. He recognized his fingerprints on the thin paper, knew the strokes of the charcoal to be his own. He recognized the smudges he had made. With growing nervousness, he held the rubbing up and slapped it against the steel plate on the wall. And the two did not match. Sazed stepped back, uncertain what to think now that his suspicions had been confirmed. The rubbing slipped limply from his fingers, and his eyes found the sentence at the end of the plate. The last sentence. The one that the mist spirit had ripped free time and time again. The original one on the steel plate was different from the one Sazed had written and studied. "Alende must not reach the Well of Ascension," Quan's ancient words read. "For he must not be allowed to release the thing that is imprisoned there." Sazed sat down quietly. It was all a lie, he thought numbly. The religion of the Terrace people, the thing the Keepers spent millennia searching for, trying to understand, was a lie. The so-called prophecies, the hero of ages, a fabrication, a trick. What better way for such a creature to gain freedom? Men would die in the name of prophecies. They wanted to believe, to hope. If someone, something, could harness that energy, twist it, what amazing things could be accomplished? Sazed looked up, reading the words on the wall, reading the second half once again. It contained paragraphs that were different from his rubbing. Or rather, his rubbing had been changed, somehow. Changed to reflect what the thing had wished Sazed to read.
I write these words in steel, Quan's first words said. For anything not set in metal cannot be trusted.
Sazed shook his head. They should have paid attention to that sentence. Everything he had studied after that had apparently been a lie. He looked up at the plate, scanning its contents, coming to the final section.
And so, they read, I come to the focus of my argument. I apologize. Even forcing my words into steel, sitting and scratching in this frozen cave, I am prone to ramble. This is the problem. Though I believed in Alendi at first, I later became suspicious. It seemed that he fit the signs, true. But, well, how can I explain this? Could it be that he fit them too well? I know your argument. We speak of the anticipation, of things foretold, of promises made by our greatest prophets of old. Of course the hero of ages will fit the prophecies. He will fit them perfectly. That's the idea. And yet, something about all this seems so convenient. It feels almost as if we constructed a hero to fit our prophecies, rather than allowing one to arise naturally. This was the worry I had, the thing that should have given me pause when my brethren came to me, finally willing to believe. After that, I began to see other problems. Some of you may know of my fabled memory. It is true. I need not a ferrochemist's metal mind to memorize a sheet of words in an instant. And I tell you, call me daft, but the words of the prophecies are changing. The alterations are slight, clever even. A word here, a slight twist there. But the words on the pages are different from the ones in my memory. The other world-bringers scoff at me, for they have their metal minds to prove to them that the books and prophecies have not changed. And so, this is the great declaration I must make. There is something, some force, that wants us to believe that the hero of ages has come, and that he must travel to the Well of Ascension. Something is making the prophecies change, so that they refer to Alendi more perfectly. And whatever this power is, it can change words within a ferrochemist's metal mind. The others call me mad. As I have said, that may be true. But must not even a madman rely on his own mind, his own experience, rather than that of others? I know what I have memorized. I know what is now repeated by the other world-bringers. The two are not the same. I sense a craftiness behind these changes, a manipulation subtle and brilliant. I have spent the last 2 years in exile, trying to decipher what the alterations could mean. I have come to only one conclusion. Something has taken control of our religion, something nefarious, something that cannot be trusted. It misleads, and it shadows. It uses Alendi to destroy, leading him along a path of death and sorrow. It is pulling him toward the Well of Ascension, where the millennial power has gathered. I can only guess that it sent the deepness as a method of making mankind more desperate, of pushing us to do as it wills. The prophecies have changed. They now tell Alendi that he must give up the power once he takes it. This is not what was once implied by the texts. They were more vague. And yet the new version seems to make it a moral imperative. The texts now outline a terrible consequence if the hero of ages takes the power for himself. Alendi believes as they do. He is a good man. Despite it all, he is a good man. A sacrificing man.
in truth. All of his actions, all of the deaths, destructions, and pains that he has caused, have hurt him deeply. All of these things were, in truth, a kind of sacrifice for him. He is accustomed to giving up his own will for the common good as he sees it. I have no doubt that if Alendi reaches the Well of Ascension, he will take the power and then, in the name of the presumed greater good, will give it up. Give it away to this same force that has changed the texts. Give it up to this force of destruction that has brought him to war, that has tempted him to kill, that has craftily led him to the north. This thing wants the power held in the well, and it has raped our religion's holiest tenets in order to get it. And so, I have made one final gamble. My pleas, my teachings, my objections, and even my treasons were all ineffectual. Alendi has other counselors now, ones who tell him what he wants to hear. I have a young nephew, one Rashik. He hates all of Hlenium with the passion of envious youth. He hates Alendi even more acutely, though the two have never met. For Rashik feels betrayed that one of our oppressors should have been chosen as the hero of ages. Alendi will need guides through the Terrace Mountains. I have charged Rashik with making certain that he and his trusted friends are chosen as those guides. Rashik is to try and lead Alendi in the wrong direction, to dissuade him, discourage him, or otherwise foil his quest. Alendi doesn't know that he has been deceived, that we've all been deceived, and he will not listen to me now. If Rashik fails to lead the trek astray, then I have instructed the lad to kill Alendi. It is a distant hope. Alendi has survived assassins, wars, and catastrophes. And yet I hope that in the frozen mountains of Terrace, he may finally be exposed. I hope for a miracle. Alendi must not reach the Well of Ascension, for he must not be allowed to release the thing that is imprisoned there.
Sazed sat back. It was the final blow, the last strike that killed whatever was left of his faith. He knew at that moment that he would never believe again. Vin found Elend standing on the city wall, looking over the city of Luthadel. He wore a white uniform, one of the ones that Tyndall had made for him. He looked harder than he had just a few weeks before.
"You're awake," she said, moving up beside him.
He nodded. He didn't look at her, but continued to watch the city with its bustling people. He'd spent quite a bit of time delirious and in bed, despite the healing power of his newfound allomancy. Even with Pewter, the surgeons had been uncertain if he'd survive. He had. And, like a true allomancer, he was up and about the first day he was lucid.
"What happened?" he asked.
She shook her head, leaning against the stones of the battlement. She could still hear that terrible booming voice.
"I am free."
"I'm an allomancer," Elend said. She nodded.
"Mistborn, apparently," he continued.
"I think we know where they came from now," Bin said. "The first allomancers."
"What happened to the power?" "Ham didn't have a straight answer for me, and all anyone else knows are rumors."
"I set something free," she whispered.
"Something that shouldn't have been released. Something that led me to the well. I should never have gone looking for it, Elend." Elend stood in silence, still regarding the city. She turned, burying her head in his chest.
"It was terrible," she said.
I could feel that. And I set it free.
Finally, Ellen wrapped his arms around her.
You did the best you could, Vin, he said. In fact, you did the right thing. How could you have known that everything you'd been told, trained, and prepared to do was wrong? Vin shook her head.
I am worse than the Lord Ruler. In the end, maybe he realized he was being tricked and knew he had to take the power rather than release it.
If he'd been a good man, Vin, Ellen said, he wouldn't have done the things he did to this land.
I may have done far worse, Vin said. This thing I released, the mists killing people and coming during the day? Ellen, what are we going to do?
He looked at her for a moment, then turned back toward the city and its people.
We are going to do what Kelsier taught us, Vin. We're going to survive.
The end of Book 2.